You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Living Vibrations with me, your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today, Linus Woods Mullins. Now, I interviewed her way back when I was with the other station, Think to Q. And so it's been some time since we've kind of caught up. But I follow her on Facebook on all the things that she's doing. And she's started a new magazine. And she's also, talks to us about our health, our wellness, mind, body, and soul. And we're going to kind of be a little directional today. We're going to be talking about the spring mind, body, and soul. We're waking up. The sun is beginning to shine. Sorry, back east. I know it might not be, but hold on. The sun's going to come out tomorrow. And we need to be prepared for it in that renewal of life as spring comes into life. And what can we do for ourselves in our mind, body, and soul in to prepare for the season? So we're going to be talking about the magazine. We're going to be talking about your mind, body, and soul wellness, things that you can eat and drink that are going to make you feel good. Now, this is Linus's passion. She is founder and CEO of Praise Works Health and Wellness. At the age of 51, she decided that, after 25 years in the field of human resources as a professional manager, it was time to make a change. And she decided to pursue her true calling, holistic education. She wanted to pursue her true calling of educating women on how to achieve their total wellness of mind, body, and spirit through holistic practices and fitness. Well, if you take a look at her today, she looks like she's in her 20s. Life is glistening in her eyes. She's clearly found her right path and is enjoying very much what she's doing. She has DVDs, radio shows, retreats, you name it. She's living her life. It's clearly suiting her. So let's get a piece of this and welcome Linus to the show. Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm fine, Sarah. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show. I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, it's wonderful having you. And clearly, the proof is always in the pudding. People talk about redirecting their lives and changing their lives and living authentically in their purpose. But you only truly believe that when you not only can hear the conviction and the passion, but when you see it in a person. And you are definitely a reflection of enjoying what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. I do. I love it. In fact, sometimes my family has to push me away from the computer or the phone, or as my friends will say, can we just have a conversation where you don't mention Praise Works? In fact, just the other day, they were teasing me because they said, no matter who I'm talking to, I always have a way of working in the idea of Praise Works.
That's because, I do the same with PLV Radio. It's because we believe mm-hmm. in what we do. We believe in the message right. that we're putting out there. And, that is our conviction. That is our very purpose. And, it can be a little overwhelming for people sometimes, but it's because we've got so much good to share from all the great people out there that we want to get it across. So no apologies, right?
Okay, absolutely not.
Well, spring is upon us. No matter where we are in the world, it's the Western Hemisphere. Spring is upon us, and that's a time for renewal. We come out of our cocoon. We start shedding the winter skin, and we start looking at embracing spring and the summer and that renewal of life. And in order to truly embrace life and good health and abundance out there, we really have to get into first the right mindset, don't we? So what's the spring cleaning that we need to do of mind in order to get ourselves ready?
Well, I think one of the things we want to do as we approach spring is to begin to get ready about the idea of thinking about the outside of the box in terms of what we've always done when it comes to our health and just our overall well-being and how we approach wellness. Many times we kind of get stuck on doing the same old thing. And, I always believe if you could just make one change, it doesn't have to be 20 changes, because usually trying to do all those changes, none of them stick, and we end up back where we started and doing the same old thing. But maybe making one or two significant changes that resonate with you, that you can incorporate in your lifestyle, can really make a big difference as you move into the spring season.
And of course, one of those things is stress, isn't it?
Yes.
Clutter of mind or of presence, it can very much lead to the stress, and sometimes even just decluttering can kind of reduce the stress. And it's sometimes kind of just living through those winter months can be very stressful for various reasons, and it's kind of taking that off, taking the stress off.
Yes, absolutely. And I also find that as the seasons change, so does our outlook. Historically, when spring comes, you feel a little bit more energy. You feel maybe a little bit more vibrancy. You want to get out and maybe do some things. And you really want to pursue that and actually act on that when the seasons change, because that is an excellent way to begin that process of holistic stress reduction. Getting out in the sunlight, moving and doing more things, being less sedentary, getting your blood flowing to the organs so that you're just feeling better, beginning to really get those endorphins, those feel-good endorphins going, which I call the happy hormones, which help us to feel better. And you know how that goes. When you're feeling better, you're looking better, and you're wanting to do better, you know, do more things to help you feel more well in your mind, body, and spirit.
Exactly. So a lot of that attitude out that there is, you know, coming out of the cocooning like a bear. And talking about bears, you know, we've got bears coming out already. They're coming out way ahead of time because we are actually having an incredibly mild winter, double digits. You know, I'm in the western side of Canada, and of course the eastern side is going through hell. And you know, we've had just beautiful sunshine and everything. And you know, it's, you kind of watch something awakening, like a flower coming out. You know, the sun opens up its petals and its stem starts to grow, and the bear wakes up and everything starts to stretch. And it's the same type of thing, isn't it? It's just like stretch it all out and you know, shake it all off and just kind of embrace and absorb that sunshine and let it feed you right down to the very root.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also wanted to say something about that when it comes to the whole sunshine. There have been studies that have shown that those areas where you've got a lot of overcast, not a lot of sun, they find that when you have a lot more people that have issues around depression, anxiety, dealing with lethargic, wanting to sleep a lot. And a lot of that has just to do with just the lack of sunshine, the lack of people's ability to get out in the sun because of the inclement weather. But there are some things that you can do while you're inside, while we're going through inclement weather, to keep those kinds of things from happening. And one of those things is to make sure that you have a movement regime, even when you're inside the house. Whatever it is that you like to do to get moving. In fact, on my blog, I wrote an article about how to chase away the winter blues. And I invite your listeners to go and take a look at that, because I have some great suggestions of things that you can do to keep depression from coming, so that when the spring comes, you're more than ready to begin to make some changes in your life.
Yeah, and movement, hellishly busy. I mean, you know, I have a dog, thank God. She gets me out. I have to go out with her. She has to go out and have her walk. It means I have to go out and walk with her. And it does you good. It just stretches yeah. everything out. You're breathing in the fresh air. You're clearing your mind. You're getting ready for the day. And just even, you know, even if you did a few little walks, you know, through the day, you don't have to go out for that big long hour walk if you can't do it. And even those few minutes here and there, it just is getting you moving and getting everything circulating, which is so absolutely imperative.
You know, one of the things that I talk about in my article, Sarah, that I think is really helpful, a lot of times people talk about they don't feel like they have enough time to make these changes.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes what you can do is break them down in increments. Most of the experts say that you need to move at least 30 minutes a day, but there's nothing wrong with doing 15 minutes in the morning, perhaps, and 15 minutes in the evening. And I'll take it even a step further than that. Just this morning, because I have quite a few interviews I'm doing today, I was heating up something in the microwave. Yes, I do use a microwave when I need to. And it was set for like 2 minutes. So in those 2 minutes, this is so funny, but it's true. In 2 minutes, I did a minute and 45 second plank in those 2 minutes.
Exactly.
I sure did. Absolutely. And planks are wonderful to do because they strengthen your forearm, your thighs, your legs, your core. It's a great thing to do, and they're invigorating. You'll be surprised what a workout you get when you use planks or do anything using your own body weight. So, you know, so if you have 2 minutes, you can do jumping jacks, or you can do squats, or you can put your back against the wall and slide down and sit for a minute or whatever. All of these things are working your body. You don't have to necessarily put on an hour-long DVD or right. watch an hour-long fitness program if you don't have the time for that. But doing some of these little incremental things really gets you into the idea of moving. You begin to feel your body feeling a little differently. You know what? You might be a little bit sore when you start doing these things, but it's a good kind of feeling. You find yourself wanting to do more to see, you know, what else is going on with your body. It's good to feel your body. When you're not feeling your body, more than likely you're not working it out enough. You want to work it out to a point where you can kind of feel your body getting stronger. And it's kind of like a reinforcement that, yes, I'm alive, I'm living, I'm working, I'm doing well, and I'm succeeding at doing it.
Exactly. And, you know, I have stairs. So to get into my house, I have to go upstairs. And, of course, I'm up and down there God knows how many times a day. But, you know, that's good. It's getting me up and down those stairs. I'm using, you know, the legs and the lungs and everything else up to do that. If you're not into the heavy duty, you know, lunges and things like this, because maybe there's some physical barriers there, there's wonderful things like Tai Chi and Qigong. And they're wonderful at truly stretching out the body and all the muscles and the blood flow and allowing the energy to run through the body. And again, it's something you can take just 2 or 3 minutes and just do it in between something. Especially if you work at the computer like I do for so many hours a day, get up and go for a walk, get up and do a stretch, get up and do something, because we need to keep that body flow going, don't we?
Absolutely. It's so important. A lot of times chronic disease can be caused by just a lack of movement. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's caused is because not enough blood is getting to all of the organs. This is such a simple thing, but that's why they're saying being sedentary and sitting for long periods of time really can be a big problem. Even if you do work out, if you work out every day, but you're sitting at 5 and 6 hours at a time, that's still not healthy, because that means that blood is not getting to the organs the way it needs to. So I would say for those of you who work from home like me, or those of you who are in an office, standing as having a stand-up desk that you might be able to use to work for a while is great. Taking incremental breaks. If you've been sitting for an hour or so, take a break for 5 minutes or so to stretch and just to move your body. It's so important. And again, it doesn't mean that if you work for an hour, you have to work out for 30 minutes. It
exactly.
just means if you are working for an hour, that means you need to move for about 5 minutes or so. A walk to the coffee room or the water cooler, if you're at work, can be just as impactful as walking around your house for 5 minutes. All those things make such a major difference when it comes to your overall wellness.
The same with breath, breathing. People forget to breathe. You know, they do it so automatically, they don't pay attention to it. And I find that if you just stop and take some deep breaths, three at least, deep breaths right into your core, changes your posture. It gets everything kind of fluidly going. And if you could stand up, feet slightly apart, hands out to your side, and your spine erect, and take those deep breaths, you're allowing that oxygen to go right through your body. So it's equally as important as that movement, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's so important. I cannot stress enough. And, you know, the other thing, too, that we want to talk about when it comes to movement, many people get kind of bored, you know, sometimes with their activity, and they stop doing it because they've been doing it for so long. It either is not challenging them, or they're just bored with it. So there's nothing wrong with finding another kind of movement activity that resonates with you, that you're excited about doing, or maybe trying something else that you've never tried before. You don't necessarily have to keep up with the same old workout routine all the time just because that's all you know. Be adventuresome. For this spring, find something else that, you know, gets you moving, that you've always wanted to do, but you just haven't done. Like, for instance, maybe ballroom dancing or Zumba or kickboxing.
Yeah.
Or maybe weight training, which is so important for women in particular. Weight training is a great thing. Strength training is a great thing to do. And that's not because you want to be able to press 100 pounds or 200 pounds, but it's great for your bone density health as you get older to do strength training. But this summer or this spring, maybe look into being able to do some kind of movement that might take you outside the house, that will be fun, that maybe you've never done before.
Yes. And it also makes life, you know, challenging and turning it up and just make life exciting. And, you know, even if you just want to go for a walk in a different place, totally a different avenue, or going for a walk with different people. I mean, just small things can change things up, and it makes it more interesting for you. And if it's more interesting for you, you're going to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, Absolutely. We're not talking about here of a weight loss thing. We're talking about just keeping your body moving to keep it healthy. But, of course, the more you move and along with the right diet, the weight loss will happen as well. But that's a great deal to do with mind as well, isn't it? Like stress gains weight like nothing else.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people do not realize that when you're allowing themselves to get stressed, they're experiencing a thickening in the body.
Yeah.
And that thickening comes from the cortisol that is secreted. And you know how at middle age, like me, because I'm 57, I experience that little thickening also. But I do know that there are several things that you can do to try to slow that down or even reverse it. Of course, strength training is fantastic to do. Sit-ups, you know, you want to have a good core in terms of doing those core exercises, but it doesn't necessarily get rid of the muffin top because really what we're talking about is what we're eating, and also lifestyle issues. One of the things that I have felt very impactful in that whole little tummy thing is meditation, learning how to calm yourself down and stay in a state that's very calm. And the next thing is in terms of what you're eating, trying to get rid of a lot of the fat in your diet, some fats you need, but processed foods, those kinds of things are not good for you to be eating. They do have other chemicals in it that can exacerbate the existence of cortisol and keep the cortisol increasing instead of decreasing. So watch your processed foods. Definitely watch the amount of fats that you're eating and take time to be quiet and to slow yourself down. Meditation is so important. There's been so many studies that have shown that meditation and yoga can impact the amount of stress that you're feeling, and it can minimize the amount of stress that you might be feeling in terms of how it impacts your body.
I mean, things like yoga, if you're into that, I'm one of these people, you get me on the floor, you can't get me back up. I'm just not designed for that. But put me in a pool. And, you know, for me, swimming, you know, doing some lengths or just doing some exercises in the water, even just laying on the water, almost in a sleep mode. You know, I'm getting my meditation. I'm getting the stretching of the body. I'm getting exercise. You know, I'm getting it all in one. And so it's a wonderful place to be. And the water, too, is such a conduit of energy. And so it's, you know, finding something. If yoga isn't your thing, maybe swimming is, maybe cycling is, maybe jogging is. But it's finding something that then incorporates everything into that one, because you get into a meditative, rhythmical state when you're doing something that is not only good for your body, but good for your mind and bringing everything in unison together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also wanted to say something else when it comes to that whole part about movement and what doesn't work for you, because you're right, some people don't even like yoga. I know for me, I spent time doing yoga because it really helped with my anxiety at one time. But I have to admit, I enjoy dancing so much more than doing yoga.
Yeah.
Although, but, you know, another one, I think any kind of movement that is fluid, I think has a special thing when it comes to stress reduction, like dance.
Yes.
Dance is great. Any kind of genre of dance. It doesn't matter what, because you're burning, you find yourself focusing on the movement of your body, or in some cases maybe remembering the movements and the routines that you're doing, and then you're no longer obsessing about the things that are stressing you out. And you also find yourself breathing differently when you're doing fluid movements like dance or whatever.
Yes.
So yoga, you're right, is great, but any kind of movement that's fluid, like dance, a continual movement, I think is fantastic.
Cycling, swimming, dancing, and then they don't have to be heavy. I mean, like some of these aerobics can be really heavy. Zumba is, you know, really kind of, you know, really requires, I think, a fairly fit body to do. And you don't have to go to that state in order to kind of maintain a good health. If that's, you know, what you can do and you enjoy doing it, then great. But, if, you know, doing things like dancing or swimming or cycling or walking, but getting, as you said, into a rhythm, into a flow where the energy is flowing, the body's being released, it's getting its stretch, you know, you're doing that bone density, all of that type of thing, you know, it doesn't have to be hard. You can incorporate it into your life as something that you truly love to do. So therefore, it's working on all of those cylinders.
Absolutely. It's so much fun to be able to incorporate different parts of who you are into your overall wellness. Because we're talking about movement and all that. But there's something else that I think that's really important when it comes to your overall wellness. And that's just being able to get out your emotions and your feelings. I think that one way to do that is through gratitude journaling. And maybe that might be an activity you want to start in the spring, is writing those things down that you're grateful for, those things that you know you have to be thankful for, because they say that as you begin to put more gratitude out there, you begin to get more of that back. And you begin to look for things to be grateful for so that you can journal about them. I always tell people to start maybe in the morning or at night writing down three things that you're grateful for and letting it grow from there. And you'll be surprised how things begin to change. Your outlook begins to change. And you stop thinking about those things that maybe you're not as happy about, and you start thinking more about those things that you are grateful for.
I think something else that really is important is like a desire calendar. You know, like last year I wish I had done this, and I never got around to doing it because I didn't make time. This year I really do desire to do this, and I'm going to set myself in the right direction so that I can do it. So like a desire calendar, in June I'm going to do this, in July I'm going to do that. And you just make it something that you are going to make sure you give time to do and not make excuses because you didn't do them. And I think, you know, having a desire, a dream, I really would like to do this year, and setting your goal to do that. Don't have to set a date. Just set, I will do this summer. And I think it gives you something to work for.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I also want to say something else, too, about the spring, the summer thing. As the seasons change, we still want to be moving no matter what it is. Maybe the summer you go from doing dance class to doing swimming because it does get pretty heavy. It does get pretty cold outside. And then in the fall, it's getting cooler. So maybe you go into jogging in the mornings. You don't have to have just one way of moving. You can have several ways of moving.
Exactly. And that's, again, what changes it up and keeps it interesting. You know, and there are the seasonal activities. Of course, in the winter, you know, certain parts of the country, so you can do skiing or cross country, you know, ice walking or snow walking, whatever they call it. There's all sorts of things that you can do and just get out there. But the whole point is just finding an activity that you love and that really serves your body and your mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And can I say something else, too, about that? We talked about our mind. We talked a little bit about our body. I want to talk a little bit about what we put in our body as we move forward to spring.
I'm actually looking at your quinoa salad here, and it looks so good.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not a purist. I would love to be, but I have to be honest. I struggle with cravings, especially during this time of my life. I'm almost 58, and I struggle with the cravings all the time. So I'm really working on discipline now because it's getting kind of ugly. I had a box of cheeses in my hand the other day, and I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing?
With me, it's chocolate.
First of all, be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Be kind to yourself. That's the first thing. And the second thing is always do the things that you know are going to help your body, okay? It's not going to help your body, you know, to indulge in a whole carton of ice cream. So don't do that.
Yep.
If you have a quarter of a cup, that's fine. But maybe find something else to substitute the ice cream, like some Greek yogurt is always a good thing. Instead of having a handful of candy, M&Ms, you know, grab a handful of grapes. Start finding substitutions for those things you might have cravings for. It might take a little work, but while you're working at it, you're still eating healthy and finding out more about what really makes your taste buds sing. Like, for instance, I found out the other day, I re-found out after so many years of not doing it, peanut butter and celery. Such a simple thing.
Yes.
But it took away my craving for something else I had that was not good. Peanut butter cookies. I tried that and it worked fine.
Yes.
It worked fine. So use your wisdom. Don't be hard on yourself, but continue that adventure of the palate by eating things that you know are healthy for you and finding ways that they can substitute them for some of those bad cravings.
And, you know, as you said, you know, you're not going to be a purist because there's going to be times you're going to eat out, you're going to eat this, or there's something you like. But it's like, try and make the percentage of the time you choose to eat healthily. And if there are those other times that you can't, the worst thing you can do is add guilt to it. Because that guilt changes the chemistry of the food and makes it even worse.
I'm sorry, you broke up just a little bit.
The worst thing you can do is if you do go off the rails or you go and eat that peanut butter cookie is feel guilty about it. Because the guilt changes the whole chemistry of everything.
Good.
No, and it,
guilt
you know,
is not good.
Enjoy it, relish it. Say to yourself, this is a treat. I'm truly going to enjoy it, but I'm going to stop at one.
Yes.
A big one, but stop at
Yes,
one.
a big one. Well, you know, it's so funny too because I think that we are our own worst enemies. We are on our own worst enemies because we have a tendency to tell people that, or to tell ourselves, I mean people tell ourselves, that we're not doing enough.
Yeah.
And really, you are doing enough. Just thinking about the fact that you need to make a change is the first step to making a change that's really for the better. You have to at least say, I want to make the change. And then once you've made the change, then you're doing yourself a favor by thinking about how you can do that. You're doing fine. You're moving forward. And that's all we can ask. And as you move forward, you will see changes. Where things get really sticky is when you decide not to make any changes. And in the meantime, you're getting sicker. You're feeling worse. That's when things can get serious. But we're talking about the fact that you can make a difference in your life by making that one subtle change, moving forward in such a way where you're beginning to feel really good in your mind, body, and spirit.
And the whole thing is that making a change doesn't mean it has to be all or nothing. You know, you don't have to go from this unhealthy lifestyle to working out at the gym 7 days a week to eating purely, you know, healthy food and becoming obsessive over it, because now you've gone too far the other way. You know, you can introduce these changes into your lifestyle, you know, bit by bit. And the more you do it, the more it will be less of a chore, and the more it will become something that really makes you feel good and you love doing. And it's just make it gradual, because if you go too much to the extreme, you're going to resent it.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? Something else, too, we kind of hit on this in the beginning, but I want to just talk about that again, is just be careful about trying to put the whole thing of your putting too much on your plate.
Yes.
You're going to change how you eat. You're going to change your exercise thing. You're going to change your self-talk. You're going to change your environment in such a way to make it more healthy and conducive and no more carcinogens, all these different things that you can do. But just do what feels best to you, what's reasonable for you to do, so you can have some success. Because the worst thing in the world is to make those changes and not feel success because you're stressed out making the changes.
Exactly. Yeah, and you resent the changes, you know. And, you know, do not buy into people who are, you know, who've got buffed bodies, you know, telling you can be like me. Well, you know, I can't be like you. And who says I want to be like you? I want to be like me, but a healthier me. And I think that's the importance is, it's to invest in you and to be the best you can be within yourself. You're with yourself for the rest of your life. You want to have a good relationship with you. And so invest in yourself and do what you can do for you. It's not based on somebody else's body or somebody else's interpretation. All we should do is just guidelines on what works for us is what we share. But that person has to adapt it to themselves and how it makes themselves feel.
You know what? I think that what you're saying is so key, and it needs to be said over and over again, that we all have value, that we all have an important place on this planet and something important to give, and that no matter whether we're at stage one of beginning our process to make a change for the better or we are continually at stage eight, every step we take is valuable along that journey to wellness.
And nobody should devalue it.
You Absolutely.
Know, people can encourage you. People can just say, you know, how much better you're looking, or I can see the energy in you. You know, they can be their advocate for you, but they can't be say to you, you're not doing enough. You should do it my way. Look, I can do it. It's easy for me. Why isn't it for you? Because we're not in those people's shoes. And we know ourselves how much we need to do for ourselves. And if other people believe in us and encourage us, it helps it happen. But we cannot go around criticizing people and holding the, you know, the light to, you've got to be like me and do it my way. That's not the way to do it. There's never, nobody will succeed that way.
No, nobody will succeed that way. And I think that not only will they not succeed that way, but the most important thing is during this process, you don't want to get into it becoming your worst enemy, becoming frustrated. You know, you don't want to do that. This is a loving approach to getting well. It's a loving approach, taking it one day at a time, finding things that resonate well with your spirit that help you to feel good about you, not instead taking a belt to your butt and beating yourself every day because you didn't do 20 push-ups.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You didn't eat your smoothie today, didn't eat salads. No. Let's talk about what you did do today for your wellness.
But it's also making those discoveries. I mean, I never was a yogurt person before, and you know, I've fallen in love with yogurt now. But the way I like it, and this is my spring and summer breakfast, is I take a Greek yogurt, rice milk, and fruit, and all vegetables, all green vegetables, and I make a smoothie, and that's my drink to start my day with. And I absolutely love it. And like you were talking about before, like the ice cream, well, you can still get that same lovely thick ice creamy type texture by making a smoothie and then just throwing it into the freezer for a few minutes to stiffen up and chill up and kind of get that kind of softer ice cream. There's other ways of kind of having the stuff that you love, but in a different way. And like juicing, it's a nectar when you put all those fruits and things together and drink that. It is positively, absolutely gorgeous. And the more you do that, the more you realize that eating healthy actually can be a beautiful census to your taste buds.
Yes, absolutely. It's so much fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Try something new for your taste buds. Like,
yeah.
I just recently, because of the changes I'm making with my cravings, I have had some things that I thought I didn't like. I don't know why I thought I didn't like them. I don't think I've ever tasted them. Sometimes we tell ourselves, oh, I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't want to eat that kind of stuff. And then when you're looking for substitutes for those cravings because you want to stay healthy, you'll be surprised at things that you thought you wouldn't eat that you're eating now because you know it is good for you. And not only that, you find a way to eat them where you can actually enjoy it and not stop eating.
I mean, I think the whole rebellion against eating healthy things is that it's coming from people that probably have never known bad health, you know, that are the young buff bodies, and they're telling you, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and it becomes dictatorial. And I think, you know, nobody wants to be told what to do. And so people kind of rebel, and it's all going on subconsciously. But when you go, you know, I truly love myself and my body, and I really want to look after me, what can I do to be the best I can be for me? Then you go exploring and start trying these things, and the more you try it, the more adventurous you get, and the more you try it in different types of recipes. And quinoa salad, I never would have touched that a few years ago. You know, it just, yep, forget it. Right? You know, and
absolutely.
And you don't know until you try these recipes. And also, you know, don't take one bite and go, oh, I don't like this. It's a new taste to your taste buds. Feed your taste buds a few bites and let it really savor. And then you'll start discovering, you know, this ain't half bad. It's actually pretty good.
I had a story the other day about curry. I always said that I wouldn't eat curry because I didn't like the way it smelled and I didn't like the way it tasted. In reality, I hadn't given curry a fair chance. The other day, I was having a taste for something that would help to curb my appetite. I wasn't having a taste, but I was looking for something. I mean, this crazy is that crazy. And I was in my reading and studying and research, I found that curry can help to curb the appetite. Well, who knew? So you know what I put on my popcorn? A little bit of curry. And guess what? It helped. It really did. Now, I had not eaten curry before, but it really did help. So being open to new things is so important when you're deciding to become well and make some changes in your life.
And also with cravings, is sometimes that craving is there for a reason. And, you know, sometimes feeding that craving, but in moderation. You fed the craving and you can, you know, mentally say, I've fed you craving, you can go now. But to deny yourself of that craving just keeps growing and growing and becomes a monster.
Right. That's right.
And absolutely. That's not just in food. That's in anything in life, isn't it?
Yes. Anything in life. You know, so much of what we're talking about here, we can apply to just about every area of our lives when it comes to making a change and how to go about making it in such a way where you're not feeling abusive and not feeling under the gun. That's so important. And I can't stress enough the importance of surrounding yourself around people who support who you are and what it is that you're trying to do when it comes to making any kind of change that's positive. You don't want to get involved with negative Nellies or with energy zappers, people who zap your energy because they're constantly criticizing what you're doing, or they don't understand what you're doing, or they may even be verbal about not liking what you're doing. You can love those people from afar. What you want to do is surround yourself with like minds who not only support you, but give you ideas of other ways that you can help accomplish your goals.
So now, talking about goals, you have reached a goal, and I don't know when it started, but something that you wanted to do and you are doing is that you have started a Wellness Woman magazine for the 40 and beyond.
Yes.
So when did this dream start?
Well, it started about let's see, oh, almost 2 years ago. It was Christmas Day, or actually Christmas Eve, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard a voice very loudly saying, "Linus, what you did with your show, The Wellness Journey, you need to do with a magazine." And I was like, "You're all right. I've never done a magazine before. I was a journalism major in college, but that was many, many years ago." And so I thought, this is crazy. But he said, "Well, you do a radio show, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do." And he said, "But you didn't know anything about that either."
Exactly.
And now you're on 7 different networks, and the show's been going on for 4 years. You've done like 400-something shows. Why couldn't you apply the same kind of circuitousness for a magazine? So I did, and it's just really amazing what happens once you make up your mind about something, how the creative will just begin to send you things, if it's something that is within keeping of what the universe has for you. And I'm so proud to say that he's given me wonderful women to work with, and they're wonderful contributors, wonderful articles. The layout is absolutely beautiful. Paul Jones is the person who does the layout for me, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm just so excited about what the magazine has done in terms of opening the idea up to women over 40, that they can not only be well, but they can be well in different ways. We talk about aromatherapy, energy healing, we talk about crystals, meditation, yoga, fitness for women over 50, menopause, hormones, different kinds of diets, healthy recipes, dream analysis, emotional wellness, spiritual wellness, relationship wellness, sexuality. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So far, in 5 issues, we've had over 140 articles and 80 contributors.
Wonderful.
So lots and lots of content in our magazine.
Wonderful. And that's the whole thing is, you know, and a lot of people say, well, Mom, what's your demographics on PLV radio? And I go, it's mostly 40 plus. I have now actually started reaching into the late 20s and the 30s because they're beginning to realize that the wisdom of the 40s plus is a gold mine. And, you know, having learned from that and apply it to their lives now in their 20s, instead of having to wait for the redirect and, you know, hatchet in the head and, having to go through the sorrow before you get to the joy, they're beginning to realize that all this wisdom is out there, that if they apply it now, it's just going to make their own journey so, so much easier. And, you know, I did a little show a little while ago about the gift of age, and I was talking 60 plus because I'm 60 now. And it was a little tribute to my mum who had just turned 95. Unfortunately, she passed the other day, but she reached the age of 95. But it was also celebrating all the women over 60. And I just had all the pictures of the women over 60s, actresses, who were beauties in their youth, who were sex symbols in their youth, and who in the past would have been put out to pasture. And here they are, all the way up to like Betty White, up to 92, still acting, still contributing, and wrinkles and all. We celebrate the beauty from within them. And I think finally we're getting there where we're looking at how much we still have to contribute, how beautiful we are from the inside out at 40 plus.
Absolutely.
And it's about time.
It is about time. Well, and you know what? I want to say something for our 50 plus sisters, because you always say above 40 all the time. We always say that. But we've got the 50-60s out there who are thriving and growing and being such an influence on our society today in terms of how we view women in general. And I want to encourage all of you who are listening who happen to be over 50 or approaching 60 or over 60 that really, it's not funny, it's really true.
Yes.
60 in many ways is the new 30, the new 40. The opportunities that are available, the things that are opening up to the idea of women over 60 is phenomenal. And it makes me look forward to it. It used to be a time when people would dread moving towards 60. I look forward to moving towards 60. I have certain goals that I want to accomplish within the next couple of years, which will be exactly at 60. So actually, I'm even more motivated now in my late 50s than I was in my late 30s. And you know what? In my late 30s, Sarah, I don't think I had a clue.
I know. I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, I've just turned 60 and, you know, I look at it. You know, I have the radio station of nearly 3 years now, interviewing people that are doing extraordinary things from around the world. So it's such a gift and an honor each time to interview people like yourself, and to also bring that message across of the people that are really making and contributing to the changes in life, and that this is, if we choose to embrace that, this is how we're going to tilt the world to peace and joy and camaraderie and collaboration. But I've also got a new business opening up in July, which is a decision-making process tool that anybody can use in their lives that helps them actually find the roles that people play in their lives, and also what their decision-making process is like, which helps them understand why they make the decisions they do and who they need to help them make those comprehensive decisions they're unable to make for themselves, and also opening up a new foundation, which is also to do with that same company. And it's like, I'm just at the beginning of yet another new adventure, and I'm 60, and although maybe I don't want to be so quite physically hands-on with the business when I'm in my 80s and 90s, I still want to be a part of it because it keeps me alive, because this is my legacy, this is my belief, this is my entire teachings put, and everybody else is put into a package that is only going to help the generations that come after us. So putting us out to pasture is a ridiculous thing, because we're really now these golden nuggets that everybody else can learn from, and by working and collaborating together, there is so much that we can achieve, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely, especially with the right resources. Resources such as yourself that encourage women, and other resources that are out there, are so important, because we really can't do it by ourselves.
No.
It helps to have coaches and resources to kind of encourage you and lead you along the way and make sure you're getting the right and accurate information.
I mean, with the whole thing we're talking about now is, I say it all the time, we're walking away from competitive. I've got to be number one. I've got to beat you at all costs. And we are totally and utterly embracing collaboration and enabling each other to reach our own goals, to reach our own abundance and perfection, and celebrating each other's achievement instead of competing and or out to destroy. And it's like what you're doing, it's all about empowering people to be the best they can be in their own lives and serving their own society. And this thought process and this action is really truly something so inspiring, and is really on a wonderful movement that's growing globally right now.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful movement, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. I'm so glad that people like you are a part of it also, Sarah.
It gives the reason for living, doesn't it? Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, who talks about retirement to put me out to pasture? I don't know how to knit. Forget it. I want to be out
Absolutely.
There participating in life.
I was just telling somebody the other day, because I just had a grandson. I now have two grandchildren. I was just telling somebody the other day, I love being a grandmother, but I'm not going to be sitting in a rocking chair knitting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Are you okay? I've got a 77-year-old on my station who has a show called Wise Health. She's turning 78 soon. She has over 50 years of holistic knowledge that she downloads every week. And she, at the weekend with her new beau, is out there twisting and dancing and shouting and putting the young ones to shame. And it's just, a great example of embracing life and truly, living life, participating in life. And we don't get life back if we don't participate, right?
Right, absolutely. What you put into life is what you will get out of it, both good and bad. But I want to focus on the good parts first. You can't block those bad parts.
Exactly. We're all going to have some bad parts. And I'll be the first one to admit right now that, I'm in a little bit of a sorrow of my mum passing. But that sorrow is more over me, not over her. She's home with the collective. She's partying it up. She's free. It's more my loss for her in the fact she's not in my life anymore. And that grieving will be for my loss. I'm not where she is, because she's where she is meant to be, happy. We have to allow ourselves those feelings now and again to let the process go. It's hard for me because I'm always kind of, I'm out there helping everybody else. And for me to be in this position right now is foreign and it's not very comfortable. But we have to go through those processes. We can't live in happy, I'm going to be positive all the time, when sometimes things tap us on the shoulders that make us sad. So we have to allow the sad process and then let it have its time. But what we've got to do is not feed it so that it wants to stay.
Absolutely not. And I'm sorry to hear about your mother. I know what that feels like. I went through that. It's been 26 years since I lost my mother, but it's still very fresh, so my condolences to you.
Oh, thank you. And as I said, it's a foreign feeling for me right now, because I'm always the strong one for everybody else when they lose. But it's there is the fine line between living in the sadness and letting the sadness live within you.
Absolutely.
And you have to be careful. You know, it's it's good to be around people that are cheerful at that time, but I think they also got to be respectful that the time it's a process that you're going through and to help bring you out of it. But everybody will go through a process, you know, whether it's a loss of somebody or a loss of a job or just even a rediscovery, you know, a loss of something within themselves that they've got to find. And it's a process that people have to go through. And you can inspire, you can nurture, you can guide, you can love, but you have to let people, you know, go through these processes in their own time frame.
I'm sorry, you just broke up again and I lost it.
Saying people have to go through this process of discovery or recovery in their own time. And all we can do is just love and support them along the way.
Yes, absolutely.
And inspire them with the knowledge how.
I'm sorry?
And inspiring them with, you know, other people's journeys of how. Okay, folks, sorry for the interruption. The internet decided to go south on us, but we are back. And Lindis is going to share with you in the next few minutes the spring tips on mentally, physically, emotionally, vibrationally, how to get ready to embrace the spring. And a few little tips you can do for your health, for your well-being. Over to you, Lindis.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. It's been such a joy to be able to join you today and just talk about all those things that have to do with wellness. But specifically, I really did want to share with your listeners some things that I personally do when it comes to my getting for spring. I kind of, you know, really move into a detoxification period, not just of what I'm eating, but just basically how I live my life. And one of the things I really work on is starting my day in a positive way. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean trying to take the stress out of the day. And for the spring, you know, the days are getting longer, and it seems like we have more time. It's kind of a, we trick ourselves into thinking that because the days are longer. But it is a great way to begin to start taking a look at how we start our day. And how I like to start my day in a positive way all year round, but spring is a good way to start, is by when you first wake up in the morning, is to drink a nice, cool glass of lemon water to get your metabolism going. We all need a little help with our metabolism, especially as we age. And drinking water with lemon in it is a great way to wake yourself up. It's a great detoxifier for your body. And because the brain is over 90% water, it's a great way to clear out the fog in your mind. When you first wake up in the morning, you're kind of foggy a little bit. Drinking that lemon water is fantastic. The next thing I like to try to do in starting my day in a positive way is spending a little bit of time in meditation and prayer. Just basically, you know, being thankful for waking up in the morning, maybe going over in my mind those things that I am thankful for, and just meditating on the things of God and just really ushering in a sense of peace that's going to carry you throughout the day. The other thing that you can definitely do starting the spring is that healthy breakfast. That's so important because it can really energize you and fuel you throughout the day. Many times, especially during the spring, I love to start my day with a healthy green smoothie. I love green smoothies. I really believe that they have a lot of nutrients and benefits in them that can help you lose weight, help you clear up your skin, help you to burn fat, give you long-term energy throughout the day, and they taste great. One of my favorite ones in the morning is pretty simple. I like spinach and almond milk and blueberries and maybe a little bit of a banana, maybe a little bit of a guava, flax seed, for that omega-3 that's going to protect our hearts and keep us strong, and maybe a little chia seed for the protein. Throw that into the blender with a little bit of ice, pour it into a nice, thick, frothy, you know, plastic cup with the straw already built in it, and I'm ready to go for the day. And that's my breakfast. Maybe I'll, in addition to the green smoothie, for extra protein, I might have maybe some tofu or yogurt or maybe even a boiled egg or something like that. I think healthy breakfasts, the best ones, especially during the day, we have a lot to do, are the light ones that are high on protein, low on sweets, watch the carbs, that are high on nutrients. So that means that maybe it's okay for you to have. One of my favorite breakfasts that is a high protein breakfast that also has that good green in there is scrambled eggs with spinach and avocado. I love that in the morning. It's a great way to start your morning, especially during the spring. Another thing I love to do is in the mid-afternoon in the springtime, you know how you begin to get kind of tired and sluggish. Right around 2 p.m. or so is when our you know, our energy begins to drop, our blood sugar begins to go down. So this is another great time to have a healthy snack of maybe a handful of raisins and cranberries and slivered almonds and a nice big glass of spring water with lime and lemon and a sprig of mint. And then after, while you're eating your snack, take a brisk walk in the sunshine. That's such a great way to re-energize yourself in the middle of the day, to keep your metabolism going, and to eat something healthy that's good for you. So those are some of the spring tips that I like to do in the spring especially. The last thing I love to do in the spring especially is to increase my girlfriend time. I cannot tell you how important it is for us to spend time with the female persuasion, us women. We need to get together. And the reason why we need to get together is because there are hormones that are secreted at no other time than when we are with other females. You and I are talking right now, Sarah, and believe it or not, just our corresponding and just being together virtually through cyberspace is helping us emit feel-good hormones. And it really is true. When you're spending time with your girlfriends, you feel good. And when you're feeling good, you're looking good. And when you're looking good, then you're feeling even better. And I really do believe that spring is an opportunity to really, really begin to do those things for yourself that you might have been putting off because it's been too cold or you've been too busy because the hustle bustle of the holidays, the days are shorter. Well, guess what? Spring means longer days. It's warmer outside, and you can bring a lot of the activities you've been putting off and go ahead and do them now because the weather is better. So definitely increase your girlfriend time and increase those feel-good hormones.
Exactly. And getting together with a group of friends definitely kind of raises that vibration and makes everybody feel good. And, you know, I love a smoothie in the springtime. In the winter, I'm more kind of a porridge person. But when it gets to spring, I like taking Greek yogurt with banana and either all greens or something green like spinach or whatever in it, or berries, and with rice milk. Because I can't drink almond, unfortunately, but with rice milk and blending that up, and you've got a nice thick kind of milkshake that really kind of fills you up and is a great breakfast to be on the go with. So there's so many different variations that you can do, isn't there? But it's a great way to start the day.
In fact, they can go to my website and download a free delicious green smoothie recipe book. It's totally free. You can just go to my website at www.praiseworks.biz. and sign up and download your free delicious green smoothie recipe. It's got all kinds of good recipes in there, as well as when certain fruits and vegetables are in season, so that you can not only have great green smoothies, but buy the fruits and vegetables that are in season so that you're not blowing your budget in order to have a green smoothie.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is that when you think about, you're hungry and you go and get a sandwich at a fast food place or a burger or this or that, even the salads with the heavy dressings, and you think that you're eating healthily. But when you actually kind of, as you said, start the day off right, you know, maybe you know you're going to have a full busy day. Have your smoothie, have your eggs, and I love it with the spinach and other things mixed in there. It's absolutely great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, carry a bag with you of, you know, nuts and cranberries and seeds, you know, pumpkin seed and sunflower seeds. And it energizes you. Or even if you're making a juice in the morning, make enough to actually hit enough in the afternoon just to kind of boost you up and keep you going. The same amount that you would go and spend on a sandwich that is all carbohydrates and sugar, it will cost you a lot less to eat those nutritionals that will feed you so much more. And your craving for all that winter foods, which is mostly carbs, will drop by the wayside because you'll have more energy, you'll spend more energy, and you'll feel better, and you won't crave those carbs.
You know, it's interesting because for the next 40 days, I have given up all carbs, trying to anyway. I'm giving up all of my breads because I love fresh bread and I don't eat a lot of it, but I'm not even going to eat a little bit for the next 40 days. And I'm also dropping anything that's sweet. I'm not a big sweet eater, but over the holidays, you know, I started falling back into eating crackers and some of the homemade cookies and things like that. So I'm just cutting all of that out. That's just something that I want to do for me. It usually takes about 40 days for me to like totally get rid of the craving for something like that. And it's interesting, it takes discipline. But I have learned a trick to help me with my craving so that I stay on on Target. I think we talked about that earlier, and that's finding a substitution for those things that I crave. And after all, start craving the healthy things. And I challenge everybody as we move into the spring to take a look at other ways that you can detoxify your life. Basically, get those things out of your life that you know are not adding value, that may even be making you sick. One more thing I want to talk about before we go today is digital detox. There's a new movement out there, and I think it's an important one. And that movement is realizing how unhealthy it is for us to be constantly connected to our phones, our iPads, the computer, and the text, all that stuff, constantly, all the time. Our senses are bombarded, and we don't give it a break. So I, advise that all of us take a digital detox, a day or two or longer, a week. A week would be great. Maybe while you're on vacation or something, where you don't have your cell phone, you don't have your computers, you don't do any social media, you don't do any texting, and you just focus on the present and what's going on right now in that moment in time. It's amazing the benefits that people have found as a result of detoxing their lives digitally. They sleep better, they're less irritable, they don't feel as stressed, and they don't eat a lot of junk food as much as they normally do, because it's very easy to be on the phone or texting, whatever, and putting your hand continuously in that, bag to chip, from your bag to your mouth, that kind of thing. They don't get involved as much into that compulsive eating. So digital detoxes are not only just great for your spirit, but it can maybe help you drop a couple pounds if you happen to be an eater that gets compulsive as, you're eating and you're talking on the phone or eating and watching something on your iPad, a movie or something like that.
It was interesting. There was a Facebook notice put out where they say that if you at least an hour before you go to bed, put away your phone. Do not look at it before you go to bed. There is something in the cell phone that excites your neurons, and it triggers you into being stimulated and staying awake. And it takes a minimum of an hour to download that before you can go to sleep. So don't go and check your email or make that last call before you go to sleep. Put your phone down by at least an hour or 2 hours before you go to bed, and don't look at it until the morning. Try not to sleep with it next to your bed. Have a good old-fashioned alarm clock, because it's messing with the neurons in your head, and it's overstimulating you, and you're not able to sleep or get into a deep retina where you're healing your body, because you're keeping your brain and everything too active. So, little tidbits there. The phone is marvelous. But, it's a tool to help us in our lives, not for us to become a slave to.
Wow. You just gave me a great new idea for a blog.
I'll see if I can find that Facebook thing and send it over to you, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I just got something in the mail the other day from my daughter's alma mater, her college, and they were talking about digital detox. And I've heard of it before, but they actually have a digital wellness program for the students on campus, because it's gotten to be such a huge issue about how everybody's so connected. People aren't communicating face-to-face anymore. They're not looking at each other when they speak. I mean, how many of us have gone to a restaurant, see a nice family of four or five sitting at the restaurant, but no one's talking to each other because they're staring into these square things on their palm?
Losing the art of conversation, truly. And, I know it's a different dialogue, but the beauty of looking into people's faces when you talk to them is that, you're communicating on so many levels, and you just don't get that same communication texting each other when somebody's sitting next to you. Or worse, so you're sitting with somebody out on a date or out for dinner or out with people, and they're busy texting and communicating with other people.
Absolutely.
So rude. I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned. It's rude.
Absolutely. Or how about the person who's going for a nice walk in nature, but they're looking down because they're busy listening.
Yes. And they're missing everything around them. Yeah. They did a great skit on that, of these guys walking down the street and the most sexiest woman walking towards them, and they all move out of the way while she walks past because they're all texting and they didn't notice her.
Yep, that's pretty much so. Spring really does bring an opportunity of new awareness in general of our mind-body-spirit connection. And I really encourage people, while they're going through their detoxing process, whatever it is they're going to remove from their life to be healthier, that they also remember to stay present. Staying present is so important these days. Just being able to enjoy a particular moment in time and savoring that moment, not thinking so much about the past, not thinking so much about the future, but thinking about what's happening right now in this moment in time. And I can tell you that staying present is probably one of the easiest and most holistic ways of reducing stress. Even if you're in a stressful situation, stay present in that stressful situation instead of worrying about how is it going to come out or what happened in the past to cause this problem. Stay present in that situation, or as they say, lean into that situation instead of thinking about, you know, 2 or 3 days ahead of time in terms of, okay, what's going to happen after this happens, what's the result of all this. Because the reality is the past is gone and the future never gets here, because by the time the future gets here, it's today. So why not go ahead and enjoy your life and stay present in whatever it is you're doing, especially during the spring. There's so many good reasons to be present in the spring.
Yeah, the gift is in the present, right?
Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is all we have is now. You know, we aim for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We hope that tomorrow will bring something, but it's only going to bring us, you know, what we have planted today. And we really want the memories of tomorrow to be wonderful of yesterday. So, you know, make your day good. So tomorrow it's a good memory.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, my dear, will you tell everybody how they can join your magazine and how they can get hold of you and how they can get hold of your recipes? Would you give everybody that again, please?
Sure, absolutely. You can subscribe to my magazine. You can get hold of my e-books and my DVDs and access to my radio shows and the Green Smoothie Recipe book on my website. Go to praiseworks.biz, that's praiseworks.biz, praiseworks.biz.
And encourage you to join, subscribe to the magazine. It's, you know, for the woman 40 plus, and
yes,
lots of wonderful tips and stories and recipes and, you know, inspirations are there. And, of course, there's listen to a radio show. And just, you know, like, this woman's a very vibrant woman with a lot of energy to share. And just listening to her and following her will certainly lift you up and help you walk your own path. So thank you very, very much for being on the show with us today.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. In spite of the little technical difficulties, it's always so much fun to speak with you. And thank you again for remembering me. You're just wonderful and such a blessing to everyone who meets you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You truly are.
As you are too. As you are too. We just, that sisterhood, we just keep that energy going, right?
That. Yes, yes, we do. Absolutely. Take care of yourself and everyone out there in listenership land. Take care as well.
Exactly. All right, folks, spring is around the corner. Be prepared for it. Embrace it with open arms, open eyes, open heart, an open soul, and an open mind. Until next time, take care of yourself.